I eat breakfast 300 yards from 4,000 Cubans who are trained to kill me, so don't think for one second that you can come down here, flash a badge.
What am I supposed to do? What the fuck am I actually supposed to do? I cannot win either way. It's becoming quite a serious shithole with this whole production thing. Making me sad, to say the least. But, you know, whatever. Fuck it. This is the Red Scare. It's how we do shit sometimes. We believe in half-ass production and half-ass quality. So with those two things, you'll get a full bit of joy here. It's the Red Scare, Teddy James. Johnny Scott, February 18th, 2022. Ted, how are things going for you over there?
I mean, I got several things going. The basic nature of a joke is to get the fucking punchline. And we didn't get that. The basic point of a potentiometer is to actually pop the fucking thing down and not have it abruptly end. And the basic point of a fucking comedy show is to be funny. So we're 0-3 right now. Welcome, Scotch. We are the Red Scare. RedScareShow.com.
It is the Red Scare Show. It's here again. Happens once a week. The great thing about this show is that you never know which day of the week it's going to happen on. Keep you on your toes, keep you moving, you know.
And the only toes that anybody's on right now is our own, because I'm guessing we are solo in this mission in a fucking vast void of absolutely fucking nothing, speaking to absolutely nobody. Oh,
that's not true.
There's 30 people
listening on average, which, you know, if I see that number jump at least one time, you know, the one person per week, it's getting there. I mean, if you think about it, we've only been doing this for 53 weeks, 54, five, something like that.
54 weeks and 15 years. Not too shabby.
Well, yeah, but we are way better at getting this stuff live now than we were 15 years ago. As far as, it's a lot easier to upload it somewhere and have it go everywhere now than it was in 07.
True. All it took was an AARP card. That's all we needed.
Yeah, it comes with it. It's part of the benefits plan.
Oh,
boy.
Part
of the packages.
What's going on with you?
You know, it's we talk about the anger issues that redheads have, or at least you and I have, and how.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all redheads. Most redheads I meet are pretty jolly people. They're really indifferent to the redhead experience, or they look at me like, yeah, you've been through it too, huh? But they're not angry like you and I are angry for some reason. Maybe they hide it better.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not angry like every day, all day. It's just that it's like the whole Banner situation with the Hulk. Like he didn't just walk around mad. It's just that when he got mad, he got fucking mad, you know what I mean? Like there was fucking Hulk, right? Yeah. So, and I've been pretty mellow of the last years, you know, aside for some bullshit. And I don't know if you remember a few weeks back me talking about my neighbor Metharella,
sure, yeah, of course.
So all of this fun shit, and honestly I've paid no mind to that situation over there. Well, Super Bowl Sunday, she has a friend over, this guy friend, and me, my wife, and my immediate next door neighbors are sitting out in the garage getting ready to watch Super Bowl and one of the greatest halftime shows that we've seen in probably 10 years, but we'll get to that later. Sitting there getting ready for kickoff, and we hear this truck kind of come, and it's funny because my neighbor goes, oh, I wonder if that's Metharella's boyfriend leaving, you know, like kind of joking. So this Jeep comes to like in front of my house and then turns, stops, revs his engine, and then peels out down the road.
In front of your house?
In front of my house, like purposely in front of my house. Cause my house is at the corner end of a row, right? It makes like a I'm at the end.
All right, so let me ask you, do you get the impression, based on that particular stop in that space, I would imagine you would have the impression that she's told this friend all about everything. The Nick Bunch across the street, and he is exacting a little bit of revenge, I guess, a little bit of a warning, maybe yeah, a little flyby, as it were.
A little something, but you know, so you come by because our only
was well, that the impression you got?
Oh, that was it was that impression, and
that was clear.
That was clear as fucking a redhead in snow. You could, I mean, there was no doubt that it was like a fuck you type situation. And I'm sitting there drinking because immediately I think, oh, okay. So this is where we're at now, right?
You're thinking, okay. I know somebody who's not going to die from COVID.
Slightly, right? And that's the thing is I start talking to my wife and I'm all, oh, I don't want to catch a number. I ain't trying to do yeah. that. You know, I'm the sole provider here. I can't just go out and fucking assault somebody because then that risks pay for my family and stuff. So yeah. I have to be strategic about this now. But it was interesting because the only thing that we've ever had a complaint with these people about was the fact that their daughter fucking drives like shit around this corner, whips around this corner. And all of the kids in the neighborhood
and play kids right are there. At play. Kids are at play. Do you have one of those like
slow kids at play?
Yeah, signs? That thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You put it like in the middle, almost right in the middle of the street. Oh yeah,
speeds right by it.
Oh yeah, I got to tell you, Scotch. I got to admit, I have a confession. Whenever I see one of those things, I rub the fuck up.
That's fine. That's fine. Just be prepared. Just be prepared to deal with a dad that. Fucking
I don't really go faster, but I kind of neutral that thing and go like when I pass it almost like a checker flag, you know, neutral and go and give it a
Yeah. You're giving it a little rev.
That's
fine, because revving doesn't mean that the car is going fast, right? It just means you're revving the engine. It's like a motorcycle.
Yeah, I don't want to hit a kid.
No, because that changes the trajectory of the rest
that
of your
changes
life.
The day.
It does. So I'm sitting here last night with my wife, get back from football practice with my son, who is the only kid in practice who scored a rushing touchdown in a scrimmage game, which I'm still blown away with because this is like Daryl the Moose Johnson out there running. He's not fat. He's not fast. He's thick. But anyways, I'm high on that level, right? Coming back. My wife's having a drink and I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I'll have a drink with you. Shit. Why not? It's 8 o'clock. And I noticed that homeboy's truck
doesn't take much for you, huh?
Not it's easy. It's real easy these days.
Maybe today.
Yeah, today. Today. Yeah, maybe I'll start a little later tonight. Thanks to you.
What an occasion. It's today. I'll have a drink.
So let me preface this. So after that happens, right? My neighbor who's sitting here and we're drinking, obviously Super Bowl, walks across the street to talk to Methorella's dad, who's the homeowner over there. And he plays what off like huh?
Homo? Her? Homo?
Homo Renner. So he walks over there to explain to him, like, hey, dude, what's the deal with it? And he plays it off like, oh, I was asleep. Oh, that's your friend from Prescott. Dude, he doesn't come around that much. Okay.
Oh, you gotta go slow, man, because I gotta start asking questions.
Yeah, I wish you would.
Please. Line of questioning came after the guy stopped, revved it up, and then you went over and you said, hey man, what was that about? Am I following this correctly?
Roughly. I wasn't the one who walked over there. My immediate neighbor who was in the garage with us, you know, watching Super Bowl, walked over there and asked because he's talked to him before about her speeding. So now, but you got this player two character coming into the mix and revving up while our, you know, revving up and peeling out while our kids are out there playing. So he goes over and asks, and her dad's like, oh yeah, he's from Prescott. He's not around that much. Okay, sure. Whatever. I buy that, you know, real easy. So.
Well, what's that? what does his location and frequency have to do with him revving his fucking car?
It doesn't, because it was more of, dude, Rex, talk to your fucking methed out daughter and don't have her do this shit. Like, fucking, she lives in the house, you know, she is
obviously, she was in cahoots with this,
obviously, talking
exhibition,
shit.
Right?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I find it very odd that this guy would just randomly do this for the first time ever being seen in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, that's coincidences. That shit don't happen like that. Leads me to last night. Sitting there, get back, all that shit. Sitting there with my wife, and you know, his Jeep's over there, and I'm like, not gonna go over there and say shit, you know, let him, you know, got it out of his system, blah blah blah, because I'm not gonna go over to their property. I know laws. I'm not gonna walk over to their property and start shit.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there drinking, and then a car drives by, and somebody yells out the window, "Let's rock and roll!" And it's that dude as he drives away, and so now I'm like, okay, so now we're.
Well, you got scotch. Maybe he just wants to rock. Maybe he looks up to you and he likes you.
This dude's never even met. He's never even seen. Yeah, he's gonna develop a friendship with my boot in his ass. Is what he's gonna develop.
You might think that we know that you've come across a conversation with his supposed girlfriend, Methorella. So he might have developed an admiration for the one and only Johnny Scotch that crossed the street, and he thinks, hey, you don't like him, but he sounds pretty cool to me. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, now I wish that was the case, buddy. I wish that was, because you know me, always looking to increase my friendship portfolio and get that, you know, get more people on the bench, as I like to say.
But here's the thing. When you say something like "let's rock and roll," it's almost like saying the guy said "dude," and then it was on. And you think like, "Well, how did he say dude?" He'd be like "dude," or did he say like "dude," or did he say "let's rock and roll"? Like,
the problem is it doesn't matter what he says, because the perspective's already been set because of him peeling out in front of my house. So he is not saying, "Hey, let's get together, Scotch, and listen to some fucking Led Zeppelin."
You don't know. Maybe he thought that was super impressive, and he was trying to gain your favor. He was like, I know how to get my buddy's attention, my future best friend. I'm going to do a little turn and burn in front of his kid's driveway. Hopefully not hit the little fucker. And he will love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is going to love this. Maybe that – is there a possibility – that's what could have happened?
You know what? I can't say that there isn't a possibility. Maybe that's what he was thinking in his mind, was that he was just wanting to spark a friendship. And look at me. He was trying to get this little flower to blossom, this little friendship flower to blossom. And after he said, "let's rock and roll," as he drove by, I ruined that friendship by saying, "go fuck yourself."
How did he say? You're getting ahead of it. Let's set this pace, man. I got a question about, can you recreate how he said, "let's rock and roll"?
It was more of a, "let's rock and roll." And then fucking kind of accelerated through the corner. But the thing was, is I wasn't standing out. Like, me and my wife are in our garage talking to each other. So he's just driving by. Didn't even, because usually we do have music going. It was just us talking about my son's next league in football. And this dude just drives by, it's late at night, and he wants to yell. No one does that. He's set a tone with his peeling out. And now that he's driving by and shouting shit towards my garage, well, it's going to get interesting as far as tomorrow is my daughter's birthday party. Okay. We will have a giant blow up out there, and his Gildo is what we call her, or Methorella. Her daughters are going to want to come over and go into our playhouse, and we're going to have to say no, because your parents, your methed out mom does not want our kids influencing you. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that Gildo's boyfriend's going to be over there.
More than likely.
And he's going to try to pull some shit. And then that's going to be the day.
And he's going to be trying to rock out. He's going
to
be
going to try to rock out.
The question is, it sounds like, considering the type of person that he seems to be and the way he says, let's rock and roll, this is probably a Kiss fan.
No, he's it's hard to say. And if you're a Kiss fan, I definitely am not probably friends with you. So
exactly. So the point being, anybody who would yell something like, let's rock and roll, to a proposed adversary is more than likely a Kiss fan.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is because I was trying to catch a peek. I haven't seen him yet, right? You know how you try to get an idea of what a motherfucker looks like?
I have an idea what he looks like right now.
Let me hear.
He's never, I would imagine it's been at least 7 to 10 years where this guy has not had sleeves on any of his shirts. That's what I'm guessing. Everything is a cutoff, right? Now, in my head, he's dirty blonde, naturally, but right now he is bleached. He has gone for it because why not? It gets warm in Arizona. That's what I'm thinking. Facial hair. I'm thinking he tries, but he's a little patchy, so he just kind of like trims here and there, so he's a little scruffy, but he doesn't have like a real beard because he's too young and he's too patchy. He's probably a little bit embarrassed, probably has an insecurity about it. Am I doing too much, Scotch?
No, I think I'm just thinking that that's what I would have expected, right? That's kind of what I envisioned.
Are you getting the same vibe?
Well, that's the vision I had. That's why I wanted to see what you had gotten from just the story. Well, my
the
wife
no sleeves vibe.
My wife saw him yesterday because I had to take my kid to practice along with the neighbor, and he was still there. And I'm just like, I'm watching my cameras out front, so I'm just like, I just gotta see what this motherfucker looks like. I gotta get an idea. First of all, who's hooking up with Gildo? Who's taking in that craziness? And is willing to just start shit with the neighbors over some shit that you have no idea what's going on. You're just willing to jump in, not realizing that the neighbors run like 4 deep on this side of the street, and you're going to start fucking around with our kid. I just got to see.
Yeah.
Turns out from what Tegan says as the description, skinny dude, no hair. And he's like,
as in, wait, as in balding, or
shaved head and no, like kind of redneck build, like rednecky, trailer trashy. Not like rock and roll cut off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take it as because the one time that she called the cops on us, like we were having a party, and that was the only time that I was actually playing my music, which is rock and roll metal. Usually my wife has control over the music, and we're listening to some oldies, like some 50s shit, or she gets into the fucking, especially after last Saturday, the Mary J. Blige playing the old shit, trying to, oh, do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember? You know, and so it's usually music that she can dance to. I hardly ever play my metal. This one time at the party, I was playing fucking some Iron Maiden, some Metallica, like the old school shit. And so that's why, like, I thought it was interesting that he said, like, let's rock and roll. Like, oh, like I'm rocking out all the time. I'm like, dude, I listen to more Kill Me country than I do rock and roll right now. I can't listen to that heavy metal shit anymore because it gets me going too much. I need to listen to the shit that just calms me down and I can enjoy my whiskey, if that makes sense. Like, I'm out here listening to some George Jones, sipping on my whiskey. I'm living life. I'm not trying to get all amped up and looking for a mosh pit and doing that shit. Fucking, that ain't me no more.
Right.
This motherfucker is trying to pull me back in to being an asshole. Like, you're going to make me, I'm not just going to keep letting you come by and do shit in front of my house without eventually fucking making your tires develop holes miraculously without saying too much incriminating stuff. So I don't know. It's been interesting week since the Super Bowl and all this just kind of popped off. I mean, it was all done with the whole, hey, fuck off, stay off our property, you stay over there, you know. Fuck, even when I drive by, I don't even look at their house. I just drive, you know, do my 15 miles an hour and take off. But She still wants to speed around the corner. And now her boyfriend's fucking trying to do his stupid shit. And, you know, I think it's going to be time that, you know, Nick gets his son's slingshot out and starts being dad. Just little steel bearings.
Fully automatic. You're semi-automatic slingshot, Scott.
Oh, dude, I don't need a real gun to fucking injure people. But
oh, yeah, that's what words are for. They hurt.
That's what words are for. That way I can be like, yeah, you know, it's great that you're over there stepping in to the new daddy role, but eventually you'll be gone and those two little kids will be without a daddy again. You know, hey, it's got to be great getting blowjob from a chick who has no teeth. I understand why you're there. I get it. But you don't need to come puffing up like a rooster in front of my house, fucking all peacocking in front of me with your feathers. You know, like you're trying, like, oh, don't mess with my lady. Trust me. She's done enough to her life to fuck it up for the rest of it. She doesn't need me over there trying to fuck up her life.
She's done it.
She's 37, living it with her parents and has two daughters. She's set her stage. And now here you are going to come in, huh? You gonna be Captain Save-A-Hoe? Is that what's going on? All right, there. Let me get you a cape. But that's fine. I digress. I do want to tell you something that I think completely off this different subject that I think you will find funny. So remember how I told you, or maybe I didn't, that I went to check out a comedy club last week. We were talking about stand-up, right?
We were talking about stand-up. Aspirations.
All of comedy. That. So I went to the open mic and I'm checking it out, right? And
okay.
Let me ask you this. On Johnny Scotch's Facebook, who are my number one fans?
Your African brother.
That's right. So I'm in this venue, right?
Nigeria is strong with you, sir.
Oh, the Nigerian strong, bro. I'm in this venue and I'm posted up in the back left corner of this venue. Like there's no one to the left of me. There's really no one to the right of me. It's me and my brother. We're sitting there and just kind of taking it all in, right? The whole scene.
Cannon to the left of you, cannon to the right.
Absolutely. So there's this black dude and this white chick sitting in front of me. And I'm sitting there and just watching.
Interracial couple, Scotch.
Yeah, absolutely. It was beautiful. And she's sitting there and I could tell she's dressed up and I'm thinking she's getting ready to go on stage, whatnot. And she's just kind of watching. And I'm not sitting because when I'm in a bar or in that type of situation, I'm always standing. I don't sit. And so I'm standing up and I'm drinking my beer, just kind of leaning against the wall, watching. And this dude gets up and goes to the bathroom and comes out and then kind of stands, you know, he looks over at me and he kind of stands against the wall next to me. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, hey. And so continue watching. And he leans over and he's like, so when are you getting on? And I go, oh, you know, I don't think it's going to happen tonight. He's all, no, I've seen you. You are funny. I like you. Are you getting on stage tonight here? And I said, no, I'm just checking out, get a feel, first time here. So you have to get on stage. I know you are funny. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm thinking to myself, I got fucking fans before I even get up on stage. This is awesome.
I go, yeah, you got that's basically canned laughter waiting for you. He's ready to laugh at you.
Yeah, for you. Like he has seen and loved a show that I have never done. And that is the most it was actually kind of a great feeling because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, am I holding myself presence wise back here where I still look
puffing
like
your chest out? Like holy yeah, shit.
That's how I was standing, just kind of like I'm an agent looking at talent, trying to bring them into something I'm doing, some shit.
And the talent happens to be yourself.
Yes, but they don't know that. But my Nigerian brother was like, you're getting on stage. You're funny. I know you are funny. I've seen you before. No, not tonight. I feel bad that I didn't get on stage just for him. I should have.
You had a fan.
No, I had to. Dude, it was weird because I walked up and, you know, I had to keep going to the front to get more drinks. And the owner is is like, hey, sir, are you getting up there tonight? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm just checking out, trying to get a feel for the audience and the setting and whatnot. All right, well, let me know, because, you know, we got to open. And every time I want to, so you want to go up there? I'm like, dude, what is this? Is this like, why is everybody asking me if I'm going to get up there? Just let me take this in for a little bit. I want to have that mystique of being the person that's there a couple times, looking, interacting with the comics, these amateurs as they get off, and being able to hold a conversation. That I like, that mystique. And then when I get on stage, they'll be like, oh, we knew he was going to get up there. We knew it. Yeah, this dude, he's been around, because they've seen me there for so long and I'm talking with him.
Well, it sounds to me, it's like, I have a couple of things going on in my head. I'm going to address this first. It sounds to me like me trying to jump off a rock into the ocean when I was in Hawaii. I got up there. I went, let's go. And my buddy went, me first. And I went, after you, sir. I was ready to just fly off the motherfucker. Saw him jump. I thought, maybe I shouldn't do this. And then I thought, I'm going to think about it for a minute. So I'm up there 15 minutes past the point of the first initial jump. And I thought, what the fuck happened to me? I got cold feet. I'm scared. They're over there on the sand laughing their heads off because they know I'm terrified.
I got to look at Chicken Little up there.
I don't like heights, Scotch. But I had it in my head that I was just going to go up there and go. And then the son of a bitch put doubt in my head. I don't want that to happen to you, Scotch. I want you to jump up this fucking rock and get in there.
I think it was the reverse for me on this situation. Like, I went there intending not to get on stage. I went there just because I wanted to see how it all flowed, what the environment was like, how the audience was. I had people telling me to get on stage where I went there with the intention of not getting on stage. I will go back and I will get on stage now that I know how this all flows, because now I know how it works, you know, where they come on. It's all how much time they have, how the audience reacted, where people sat, how, just everything, the whole feng shui of the joint, right? I know now, like, in my mind, planning a stage presence, how to work that whatever skit I'm going to do, because gotcha. Now I know how the stage is. But
Mr. Scotch, I also thought it was a very interesting point that you made about your decision to stand in the back. And I say this because I just realized when you said that my whole motivation to go out is to find a new place to sit. Sitting to me is the greatest thing that you could be doing. There's nothing better than just taking a load off, getting off your feet. People don't realize your feet have a pretty rough job at holding everything up at the same time, especially people like you, me. Scotch, of large stature. So to me, to think that you're going to go someplace new and not take the opportunity to sit down boggles my mind, because really that's all it is for me. Where are we going to sit? I have anxiety about where we're going to sit. We're going somewhere. Is there going to be a place to sit? Because I'm not standing all night. Why do you decide to go into the back and not sit, Scotch?
It's more of a. It's an interesting question. I've never really thought about it. I don't like having things behind me.
I got that.
You know, like at a bar, but right?
I've tried that before. Didn't work well for the old Teddy boy.
Look, like when I go to a bar and people sit at the bar. No, I'll push my. I'll keep my seat there, but I'll stand in front of it. I don't like sitting at a bar, and so when
You're
I'm
too vulnerable.
No, when I drink, I like to stand. Mm. I like to stand in here. I feel like if I drink and I'm sitting, I'm just going to get into that type, you know, that slouchy. But it's interesting because of the dynamic and presence of me not being a small dude and standing in the back wearing all black, my black hat, just the presence and holding my beer. How many of these comics went out of their way when they came off to walk up to me and be like, hey, how's it going? How's it going? Thanks for coming. And then pass by everybody else. It makes it seem like I am more important than I am. Does that make sense? And it's, I mean,
it sounds like they thought you, it was like the return of John Candy or something like that. Like, he's back, he's bad, happens to be a redhead. I'm going to go say hi, make a connection.
I feel like that, you know, it's like the opening line of, oh, I know what you guys are thinking. It's another fat guy doing comedy. Ooh, don't worry. I'm over 35. If I was going to die, it was already happened. You know, it's that thing. I'll get up there. I'll do some shtick. You want some shtick? I'll get up there. And I'll thank my Nigerian brothers for coming to support me.
Was that your opening? Your icebreaker? Doing comedy?
No, it's not. It's one that I thought, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's the easy fruit. That's the easy fruit. I just did that for now because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not trying to burst your bubble, Scotch, but if that's how you're going out there, we're going to have to workshop this shit.
No, I got other stuff like, oh, it's nice to see some black guys in the audience. I see Gilbert's letting up their restrictions. I'm sorry, Gilbert, because, you know, there's other stuff. I'm all about race and all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to go back to the old school stuff. But don't worry, because I'll have my Nigerian friends there supporting me. And I'll be like, ain't that right, Tikuk Namalamade? From Facebook, my homie.
And he'll give you one of these in the back. Black power fist.
Right back at you. Right back at you.
Back in black.
That's it. I don't know. There's fucking... Yeah, my stand-up is really... It just
really coming together, huh?
Well, no, because it's really, I have it all listed out on Trello and I go back and forth. Like I'm not just, my shit is way better ad lib, and it's hard to ad lib on a fucking on a stage. You know, all of the shit that I've done, like I was trying to tell my wife, she's like, oh, you need to write it down. I go, it doesn't matter, because the feeling behind an ad lib joke is you're in the moment of that, or you're in that moment, right? And so you come up with something funny in that moment. Just because I write it down doesn't mean I'm going to be able to draw that same energy again later to create that moment.
Well, I think it would be beneficial to have an outline, some type of template that you would go to, and that would guide you to where you want to go next. Because sometimes, I've been on stage so many times, sometimes you just, for whatever reason, it just evaporates, and it's nice to have a game plan as a backup, just as a backup, because if you want to go out there and do a little crowd work, see feel the flow, catch the vibe, you might get caught up on a breeze and all of a sudden you're floating through the air thinking, where the fuck am I? It'd be nice to have a little groundwork.
Well, and I do, you know, I use a Kanban board, or, you know, like a Trello to put my shit in, and then come back and ad lib and revise it. You know, a lot of my shit is really based on.
What's a Trello?
It's a, I don't know if storyboard is the right word, but it's like a Kanban board, like where you can put cards and stuff and move it over to, you know, you have your starting idea of cards that you list out shit, and then as you like it, you can move it over here to like, this will work, or, you know, needs revision, or now this is trash, and you move it over to trash, and you leave it over there, so you don't ever.
An actual board, like a physical thing, or is this like a digital on the computer thing?
No, it's a digital.
Oh yeah, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I know, because you don't work in that world. Can you see my screen now, just so you get a vision?
I mean, I can see our drops that we're not using.
Oh, okay. Hold on. There. How's that?
I don't have my glasses on.
Oh, you fucking old man. Seriously?
Look at how I'm trying to see. I can't see.
Dude, you're so looking down. Are you using that schnoz of yours as a fucking pointer? Because you're like,
I'm pretending that I'm wearing my bifocals right now. So I'm kind of like looking down.
No wonder you're going to the doctor. No wonder you were going to the doctor so much. You fucking hurting your neck by looking like that. You're going to throw your fucking neck out. Jesus.
I'm turning into my grandmother.
Anyways, yeah. So, yes, storyboards out. All I really got is, you know, PTSD from living with kids because they're biological terrorists, and that, you know, they actually they're psychological terrorists too, and a bunch of shit based around that. So, but nevertheless, it's all fun stuff. Enough about the happy joy. Sorry, gonna back up because I want to tell you. I know how excited you are to talk about sports. That I have to bring it up again, that my son has been dying to run a play, right, as a running back. And in his current team, he has been made the center because he gets he knows how to hike it.
Aww,
to where the threads are perfect for the quarterback to grab, right? So to go throw.
It's a skill.
Problem is he's not getting targeted for anything because
– Well, he's the center.
But in flag football, the center can go out for as a receiver.
There's no like ineligible player down the field.
No,
like,
no, because it's 5-on-5.
You go out.
Yeah, it's 5-on-5, right? You have a quarterback and basically 4 receivers. Just one of them has to hike. Yesterday at practice, you know, he's asking, "Can I just run one? Can I just run one?" We're doing scrimmage, full field, and you know, finally, you know, the coach is like, okay, but we got to get the hiking down, you know, because he gets all excited, right? He wants to hike it sometimes quick and then run out for the pass and then muffs up the hike. So he finally gets the play, and my son comes out of the backfield. He fucking bread boxes the ball. He's got it, comes out of the backfield, and I'm working defense, so I'm watching this come at me. And I'm thinking, oh, man, go to the side. That's your only option. That's your only option there, slow feet. Nope. Fucking does a post right to the middle, and all the kids go to swarm him. And as they goes to swarm him, he does this fucking whoop spin. They all miss his flags, and he keeps running forward. I'm like, holy
where the
shit!
Fuck did that come from?
And he's all running as fast as he fucking can for his little bit. Look, my son, as you can imagine by looking at me, my son is not the smallest kid on the team. And like me, has the agility of a truck driver on ice. You know, it's just, there's no sleek and tender. Like this is, like Perry the Fridge is just running, but you know, not as big. Like I said, it was like watching Moose Johnson, you know, fullback it right out of the back in the 90s and just, he was the only kid out of all the little skinny kids that tried to run. And then on defense, he's out there smacking the ball down, like stopping receptions. I'm like,
not on Mount Matumbo.
Yeah.
Not on Mount Matumbo.
No. I'm like, where'd this kid come from? And then the whole way home, he's like, Dad, I can't believe I was the only one to get a touchdown. And I go, I know, dude, you threw that spin out there, tried to break some ankles, I see. And he's all, man, they didn't get me. I told coach if he just let me run. And I go, look, that you should have seen the look on coach's face when you made that touchdown, because he was like, I mean, like somebody just shot it, like just plain. It was ghosted.
Jerome Bettis is built like a tackle. Fucker ran. You know what I mean?
He did.
You just never know.
But it's funny because my son is always like tripped over his own feet when running, you know, like he just wasn't graceful in his running. And maybe he's figuring that out now as he's getting older and how to do that. But excited to go on to the next level of football next season with the NFL flag football. He got drafted to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals will be sponsoring their team here in Arizona. And his coach has been doing it for like, I don't know, 15, 16 years coaching flag football. Went to the Wild World of Sports in Disney at Florida, was sent there by the Cardinals to participate in championship and end up taking his team to 5th in the country. So I'm a little hopeful that my son is going to be like, man, I feel I'm ready to do this, because football has been the only thing that seems to work with his ADD. Like he's ready to go on to tackle. Like he just wants to start. He wants to start hitting people. And I'm like, no, you need another like season of flag football to get some fundamentals down.
Yeah.
Then Then we're going to take you.
And we're going to rip some fucking heads off.
We're going to go to Bobby. You're going to be Bobby Boucher out there. And I'm going to be coming up going, remember me, son? I see you on the ESPNs. And then you're going to be out there making dad some money. And that's it. That's it.
And I'll be you caught the bug.
Hopefully.
I don't know.
But enough about my happy life and possibly going to jail in the next week. What's going on with you?
I'm exhausted. I've been working every day, every night. I'm mentally exhausted too, because I work with a couple of like absolute fucking morons that shouldn't be on the level that I am. And I have to work with them because COVID, they ushered these dipshits in. And, you know, I think about it when I'm not working and I'm spending way too much energy on fucking negative shit, but I don't know how to stop. So not only am I physically just like ran down from just, you know, 8 hours a night of fucking running around, because luckily we've been fucking busy, but who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck about a goddamn waiter's life? I don't. And I'm in it. It doesn't even matter. Speaking of football, though, I watched a little bit of the parade, and the only thing I loved about it, besides Aaron Donald's fucking Adonis physique, was Matt Stafford holding a full bottle of 1942 Don Julio while he was on the bus. And by the time he got to the podium to give his speech, that fucking bottle was nearly gone, and he was fucking blasted.
Good for
Holy
him.
Shit, that was awesome. But beyond that, I can't say too much. Somebody at my job recently got fired for telling his girlfriend about a celebrity that came in.
Is it really that tight-lipped?
Yeah, because where I work, people come here because not only can paparazzi not get into the place or surrounding, they actually have to be on the outskirts and try, but they can't because security is like locked it down. So they come to my place because we're the place where we won't even allow other guests to approach celebrities and take a picture or get an autograph. Like, it's forbidden. My manager went up to a guest. It was her birthday. She took a picture with a celebrity, and the celebrity was nice, took the picture, but my manager went over there. He said, "Excuse me, ma'am." And as he said, "Excuse me," the celebrity walked away, and she was like, you know, "Thank you. Thank you. Like, you know, handle it." And he was like, "You need to delete that from your phone right now." And she's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's going on?" No, if you ever want to come back on this property, if you want to be welcome here, I need to see you delete that from your phone right now, or you will never be able to come back.
Sure, no problem. It's already stored in the cloud. Here it is.
Whatever. They don't fuck over. No. He doesn't play that. He said, "Okay, now let me see your Google account because I know it's connected." No. They don't fuck around. It's crazy. So
are you even allowed to divulge the name of your restaurant or your place? Or is
I don't need to. It doesn't.
No, not on here. But like, if I called you privately, could you tell me?
Oh, of course. I'll tell you where I work.
Yeah. You're just saying, fuck these people that are listening. They don't get that special.
Well,
this
no,
is a, this is a Johnny Scotch.
I don't want anybody knowing where I work. I didn't even let my friends know.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point.
I just want to know, so when I'm in LA, I can come out and be treated like a celebrity, even though I'm not. Like, do people?
Oh my God! When you come out, I'm gonna set you the fuck up.
Do you know? Do people know? Like, can like so? If normal people are in this restaurant, are celebrities seated elsewhere? Or is all kind of intermingled?
We have specific areas where they can't, there's like private areas, more private areas than others. If they want to be seen, they'll be, I mean, most people of note, even non-celebrities, we get people like, you know, political things, you know, people in politics and stuff like that.
Like Eric Garcetti comes to parties here.
No, but somebody of note, if they want to not be seen, will accommodate that.
Like backdoor entrances and shit.
I mean, it's like, you know.
And even if they want to come in through the rear, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood. Everybody's coming through the rear.
No, I just want to show up there and people think I'm a celebrity, but not know that I'm actually a nobody. I just want to be treated like a celebrity, but just to leave people like, who is that? And why is that status happening to him?
Considering the way you're probably going to be dressed is the way you're probably going to be dressed is the way you are dressed now. People are going to be like, oh, that guy's got must have a shitload of money because he did not dress up for this shit.
Yeah,
and no, I love that. That's my favorite part.
I dress for comfort. I don't give a fuck. I ain't here to impress anybody.
The people with the most money, they always dress exactly how they want, which is probably like t-shirt, shorts. They don't give a fuck. They show up however the fuck they want.
Look, I'm already married. I'm already rich. I don't need to. Who am I dressing to impress at this point?
Exactly.
I'm just coming in here to get some frog wah, and I don't know. I would order the most basic shit too. I just want to be set up like a celebrity. Just to come in. You know what? I don't even need the bottle water. Can I get your best tap water? Is that cool? Because I'm all about, you know, saving.
I can't wait for you to come in. I'm gonna style you out, sir. It's gonna be the best thing you've ever seen in your life.
Oh,
champagne, awesome. Campaign. Scotch. You can find us at redscareshow.com, patreon.com, the Red Scare. I'm sorry, Scotch, I cut you off.
No, I was saying nothing important. I was just thinking, like, I'm just gonna bring my wife, she'll be dressed to the nines, and I will be dressed in my black t-shirt, black hat, Dickie pants. Maybe flip-flops. I might put shoes on. Fuck it. I might put shoes on. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll wear my flip-flops and my toenails will be painted because that's what I let my daughter do. And just fucking, you got oysters in there? Can I get some oysters up in this bitch?
I got you.
I know what kind of food you got.
Of course we got oysters.
I would hope so. It's a California restaurant, right? You got to have some fresh shit in there. I'll take the seared tilapia. Because I know my fish, and I'm looking for something exquisite. We ain't
serving no dog shit tilapia. You're getting fucking branzino, homie. You get a little loup de mer.
No. What kind of? Let me see. Can I get a Kessler and Coke?
Yeah, if you smuggle that shit in.
Do you guys do bottle service? Do you guys offer bottle service? Because I'll bring my own bottle in just so you have to pour me a Kessler and Coke in this fine establishment.
I mean, I think we're the type of establishment that will want to accommodate anything if we can. So you do what you got to do, Scotch. I'll put a nice fresh bottle of Coke right next to your empty Diet glass. Coke. My manager will say, what's going on there? I don't know. The guy's trying to lose weight. Who knows? I don't know. What do you want?
You just look at him. You're just going to have to look at your manager and be like, you obviously don't know who this is. And it shows. I get it. Not everybody can be aware of everything all the time. So, I'll take care of this over here. You go focus on the people that you know and want to be in front of. This is, if you knew, you know, you don't. And I'm sorry. That's unfortunate. Just a big, I'm going to have a Red Scare shirt made just to wear for that night. Just a big Red Scare on my black shit, and then people there are gonna have to go look it up. Oh, it's gonna be so good. Look, I'm big enough to be a billboard and can support and promote this show everywhere I go. So you know what? It's time.
Well, it's time. Considering you already carry the show on your shoulders, you might as well blast it and advertise in your chest.
I just need
Speaking
more.
Speaking of blasting on your chest, I can't wait to see you, Scotch. Bears?
A bears.
The bears.